past 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, and been a while since I've had the opportunity to chat with Chapman. But Barry Chapman is in the studio. It's the morning show on Radio Life and Style. Barry, lovely to see you again.
Oh, good morning, Dave. Nice to see you again, man.
You're looking very well. Your hair has grown, and yet you have tightened up a lot.
My wife passed a comment. You know, I liked it when your hair was long, but I know you'll never grow it again. So, you know, I accept the challenge. So we're letting it grow a little bit.
Good-looking boy, what can I tell you? So how's the world of plumbing been?
I know, the world of plumbing is absolutely fabulous. You know, we've had a couple of really, really funny, tricky things where our equipment and instruments have really aided us in getting to a conclusion. We had a gentleman in an estate a little bit out of town, and he has had 7 months of chaos of trying to resolve an issue in his property, and multiple plumbers have been past there and never really been able to resolve the problem. We went out there and did quite an in-depth investigation utilizing CCTV and all sorts of things like that. We found an affected area. We opened it up and then decided we were going to just inspect a little bit further. So we stuck the camera up the line, which you aren't going to be able to do unless you, because everything's flow directional. And we stuck the camera up the line and we found another issue, which was the actual real big issue. And, you know, without the instruments and equipment to be able to find all of that out, you would have been digging up half the complex trying to resolve an issue.
So technology has made the job of identifying where the problems are easier, but clearly you still got to resolve the problem, which means you can identify where it is, but now you've got to dig up that part of the complex.
Yeah, so but also it's a localized excavation. It's not a massive excavation. So we dug open an 800 mil by 1 meter hole, 800 mils deep into the ground, and we found the affected area, pulled out the fittings, got into the pipe, used our jetting machine, the high pressure jetting machine, cleaned out a very large amount of solidified fat that had got into the pipe, which is unfortunate for them, but they're coming, it's online from the bin room. So, you know, one sits there and goes, well, the issue that we found first was the issue that blocked the line, and whatever else was inside, they pushed back up this line because it actually has a backfall on it, which is horrible because it goes under the building.
Wow.
So we've now installed a cleaning eye in the wrong direction, so that we can get underneath the building and unblock it in the future, if need be, without having to excavate everything open now.
You see, one doesn't really think of that when you're talking property. You might find a gorgeous little apartment that suits your needs entirely, not realizing that it is built on a warren of old pipes full of gunge, and ultimately that's going to cause you issues. But is there ever a problem that you can't solve?
Well, you do come across issues where you end up hitting yourself against a brick wall. In a local office park, we did a leak detection. We were there for a substantial amount of time. We had a couple of issues affecting the investigation in the sense that it was very close to a very busy road. So audio, even at night time, we tried to go there at 11 o'clock at night and it's still just too noisy for audio. The gas, because there was so much concrete hard surface there, we drilled over 100 holes into the concrete through to try and locate where this leak was. There were no drawings of where the existing piping system ran and everything like that. And we actually got to a point in the investigation where we had found the termination and connection points of where the line ran further into the office park. And we said to the managing agents of the office park, let's just stop now and divert the line. We've got 40 meters of pipe where we need to replace. Let's just divert it and replace it, because we're actually wasting your money now continuing to try and find this leak.
So there's always a solution, shall we put it this way? That's an interesting thing. I wanted to ask you, you know, with the tremendous amount of interest now in the electricity price, which apparently has, well, it's doubled, literally, over the past couple of years. Household budgets are under enormous pressure because of electricity. One of the biggest user, I think, is the geyser. You have a couple of very interesting, not inexpensive solutions, but a good investment. But isn't one of the most inexpensive solutions just turning down the thermostat?
Okay, so you've got to be very careful about temperatures with geysers. So you don't want your geyser to be set, and I'm talking about a hot water storage vessel, not so much a gas water heater that's instantaneous. Yeah. Hot water storage vessel, you don't really want to be below 55 degrees, which leaves the top of the geyser at 60 degrees because of Legionnaire's disease, Legionella bacteria.
Oh, really?
It grows in warm water. It gets killed at 60 degrees. So it's a pneumonia form of an illness, and I think the largest ever recorded case was in the States, where 181 people died in a hotel where they had set the temperature too low. And this,
wow,
you go for a shower and all the nice steam and air movement and everything happens, and you breathe it in and it gets into your lungs and off it goes. So it's really, really important to make sure that you safeguard your own health. And a lot of people don't know about it, that your geyser, you should not, for health reasons, set your geyser lower than 55 degrees.
And what is the lowest setting that on most thermostats?
So, doesn't make sense, does it? They go down to about 30 degrees.
Really?
Yeah. So, one thing's from a standard compliancy, if you're creating a thermostat for a hot water heating cylinder, it would start at 55 degrees and end wherever you want to send it up to. But yeah, no, they start at 30 degrees and end at 70 degrees. But
if you turn it down to reasonable, not down to the bottom, would that save electricity?
Yeah, you would, because you're obviously not heating the water up enough. I mean, as much. So if you've got a geyser set at 55 degrees or a geyser set at 70 degrees, you are going to have a monster bill at the 70 degree part as opposed to the 55 degree part.
So it is a reasonable hack to save electricity.
100%. 100%. And people go on about, you know, put a timer on your geyser, turn your geyser off, and only heat it up when you need it. And there's people that go, no, that doesn't work. The people that say that, all you need to ask them is, have you tried it?
It does work.
100%. So I'm one of those people that I need to test something before I go ahead and go, hey, Dave, I put a timer on my geyser and I saved myself 450 Rand a month. Because, and I can confidently say that because that's what I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I've gone through the years and practiced different things and new things that come onto the market, I've installed them in my own house to test them, see how they work, and then I go market them to my clients because I want to make sure that those things are operational. I had a heat pump in my house, I've had solar geysers, I've had solar PV, and currently now we're working with a wonderful device called a geyser waller. So it's a piggyback onto, or a retrofit onto, the geyser wise timer, and this device is a Wi-Fi module, and it gives you the world of access into operating your geyser, whether it's a solar thermal unit or you just want to use it as a standard geyser timer. Just setting the times on your geyser when you and your house are going to be using the most hot water and then turning it off when you don't need it, you're going to reduce your bill massively, because if you look at the graph on those timers with that Wi-Fi module on it, with no timer set on it, you can see through the middle of the night, every half an hour, 45 minutes, your element turns on, turns off, turns on, turns off. For what? You're sleeping.
And is it an expensive fit?
So the geyser wise TSE and the geyser waller is about a 2,500 Rand investment. plus the installation of about 1.5, depending on, you know, everything's a little site specific. So you're in for about $4,000, I would say, for that installation. And if you manage it properly, you should be able to pay that timer off within 8 to 12 months.
Wow. So it's an investment.
No, 100%. 100%. The lovely thing with the geyser well is if you've got Blue Energy in your house, the Victron things, the Wi-Fi back end of the Victron connects up to the geyser well. So if you've got solar PV, when you are producing excess solar, it then pumps all of that excess solar into your geyser and heats it up for you from free electricity, essentially. So
there's lots of technology that one can excitingly get involved in. That's not going to cost you a fortune, but it's going to save you money, and it's going to make the business of running a household more economical, ultimately.
So you go down the line of lodges. Okay, there's a place up north where you can buy a piece of land and a reserve and build your dream bush lodge. And historically, there's no power there, so everything's solar. Historically, everybody's gone with gas water heaters. And now, with the Geyser Weller and Victron, and I mean, you can do it with the other brands, with a couple of other, it's not as easy though. But now you're putting a conventional electric water heater in a bush lodge in the middle of nowhere with no grid connection, that's heating up water for you, storing it, doing its thing, and you're now not reliant on gas.
Which is a problem if you run out in the middle of the bush. That's it.
100%.
You're reliant on the delivery of gas. It clearly has its advantages, but the disadvantages are huge. So yeah, one understands there are technology advances that one can adopt if you've got access to a reasonable resource like Barry Chapman. Talk about it. Discuss it. Every need is different. Every household is different. But there are ways of reducing your electricity costs. And in a sense, when you're using less electricity, you're also being kinder to the planet, I think, that we live on. We all need a little bit of that these days. Barry, lovely chatting to you, mate.
And, always good.
It's more strength to you and what you're doing in terms of the savings of electricity and the sorting out of problems and the growing of your hair. Looks very, very good. We'll catch up in a week's time.
Shout a lot. Thanks, Polito.
And chatting with Chapman. This will be up as a podcast shortly. And coming up next, we'll be in conversation with the lawyer, the legal eagle, Gavin Steinhover, will be with us shortly.